From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of a message called The Goodness and Severity of God, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Divine Provision. The text is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Clothes are expensive, and poor believers may be led into anxiety as to where their next suit will come from. The soles are thin. How shall we get new shoes? See how our thoughtful Lord has provided against this care. Our Heavenly Father clothes the grass of the field with a splendor such as Solomon could not equal. Will He not clothe His own children? We are sure He will. There may be many a patch and a darn, but raiment we shall have. A poor minister found his clothes nearly threadbare, and so far gone that they would hardly hold together. But as a servant of the Lord, he expected his master to find him his livery. It so happened that the writer, on a visit to a friend, had the loan of the good man's pulpit, and it came into his mind to make a collection for him, and there was his suit. Many other cases we have seen in which those who have served the Lord have found Him considerate of their wardrobe. He who made man so that when he had sinned he needed garments, also in mercy supplied him with them. And those which the Lord gave to our first parents were far better than those they made for themselves.
Stay.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Although the setting for this message is Joshua chapter 12, Dr. Cairns' text is Romans 11, verse 22, Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Rather than being innocent victims of an arbitrary God, the Canaanites received the due reward of the vile practices that accompanied their worship of idols. In addition, they were not ignorant of what God had done to other nations who had sought to make war upon Israel. Nor were the children of Israel innocent of idolatry themselves. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, we must accept God on His terms, not on the basis of what we think He should be or do. Indeed, God's dealings with both Israel and with the heathen Canaanites reveal much about His own character. Essentially, idolatry is man's worshiping an extension of himself. God has not changed, nor has His law been abrogated. Unrepentant sinners will receive the just punishment of that broken law. Yet, although the children of Israel were as guilty as the Canaanites, they were shown the mercy of God, not because of anything good in them, but because of the sacrifice of the innocent victim, the Lord Jesus Christ. The same is true of any sinner who seeks God on God's terms. For Christ said, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message called The Goodness and Severity of God.
You see, the people who have been trusting in their church, in their baptism, in their decision, in the day they walked up the aisle, in their profession, in their pretension, without any real personal knowledge of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they will find that the heel of the wrath of God will sweep away the refuge of lies. Sinners will find no relief in false religion. Can I say that human power does not deter the fury of the wrath of God? These people had weapons of resistance, but they were vain. These people had the ability to make huge human alliances, but they were vain as well. My friend, there is no power known to man that can stay God's sword of judgment. He says, if I whet my glittering sword. I want you to stop and think of that. If God today should whet the glittering sword of His justice and judgment, how would it go with your soul? Are you ready to meet God? Tell me, how does it stand between you and your Maker today? When the books are opened and the book of the law of God is rigorously applied, how will it go with your soul? God's judgment strictly enforces His law. But we do learn a third thing. That is that salvation is all of grace. You see, the children of Israel were just as incapable of finding a refuge as the Amorites. They were just as deserving of judgment as the Amorites. But God in grace reached them and saved them. This is exactly what the New Testament teaches us regarding the people of God. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, or our manner of living in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's our position. The children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's the complete statement of God's grace. By grace are you saved through faith? Not of works of righteousness that we have done, but of God's mercy He saved us. My, what a word that is. Salvation is all of grace. That is a word of hope for sinners. If God were to say to the sinner, do and live, He would condemn us all to death. If God were to say, I have done most of it, now you do the rest of it, He would still condemn us all to death. If God were to bring us 99% of the way and say, now take the last step, He would still condemn us all to death. For we're dead in trespasses and sins. We're hopeless, helpless, wicked, ungodly wretches without the least modicum of goodness or godliness about us. But God is rich in mercy. God is the God of all grace. Thank God that grace is sovereign and omnipotent. He is able to save the vilest offender. You look at yourself. That's why we sang that hymn this morning, Amazing Grace. You look at yourself, and what do you see? You see a great, black-hearted, hell-deserving sinner. Doesn't matter how educated, how cultured, how religious, a great, black-hearted, hell-deserving sinner. But God in mercy gave you grace. God saved you. He chose you. He called you. He converted you. He has fed you. He has led you. He has sealed you with His Holy Spirit. He has given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has granted you a place in union with Christ. Bless God. Salvation is all of grace. Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. There's not a sweeter note in the anthems of glory than the note of sovereign grace. Thank God, when I had no love for Him, He loved me with an everlasting love. When I had no time for God, He had time for me. He brought me to the feet of His own dear Son. Salvation is all of grace. There's not a man, woman, or child in heaven saying, "Thank God I worked hard to get here." There's not one there who can say, "Thank God I made it. Thank God I did this or that to get to glory." Not one will say that. The Lamb has all the glory in Emmanuel's land. He gets all the praise. For salvation is all of grace. We learn also that damnation is all of sin. Damnation is all of sin. These people got exactly what they merited. There are always smart people who try to find fault with what God says about Himself. And when the Bible says that He hath chosen us in Christ, then they say, "Well, these poor non-elect sinners go to hell because God predestinated them for hell." They miss the point. People who go to hell go where their own feet take them. They go to suffer what their own sins have merited. They end up reaping the harvest of their own sowing when God in sovereignty says, "I will let you go the way you want to go." Let me tell you, there is not one man in hell who ever had a genuine desire to be saved. I want you to realize that. There's not a man in hell who ever wanted to go to heaven on God's terms. Not one. Everybody's in heaven because of sovereign electing saving grace. But everybody who's in hell is there because of sin. There's not a man there who doesn't deserve it. Damnation is all of sin. There's one final thought, and it's this. God's saving purpose is a mystery to us until He actually unfolds it. And that would encourage every man and woman among us to make his calling or her calling and election sure. Consider this. Sihon and Og were offered peace, and they rejected it. Rahab, the heathen harlot, found grace and salvation and a place of honor among the people of God, and even got into the royal line of Christ. The Gibeonites, great people, numerous and strong, but heathen and wicked. The Gibeonites sued for peace, and they received peace and grace. And as I pointed out in preaching in that passage, an honorable possession from the Lord. Thus sovereign, the sovereign purpose of God is a cause for joy. It's never an excuse to remain in rebellion. When you look at these examples of saving grace, not only in Israel, but from the surrounding peoples, you have the glorious foreshadowing of the glorious New Testament truth that the gospel is to be taken to the ends of the earth. And from every tribe and every tongue and every kindred and every nation, God has sinners to save. Bless God, His grace is able to save all who will have Christ. Now when you get to Christ, you look back and say, thank God, He made me willing in the day of His power. But I want you to recognize this. God's sovereignty is no barrier to a sinner coming to Jesus. The New Testament ends with the great exhortation and invitation, whosoever will, let him come. Will you have Christ? Then come, and the Lord who saved Rahab will save you. The Lord who saved the Gibeonites will save you. The Lord is rich in mercy to all them that call upon Him. He saves all who will be saved on His terms. Every one of us in this meeting today will forever show forth God's severity or God's goodness. Forever we will endure the infliction of the punishment of the broken law, or forever we will rejoice in the Christ who bore that curse and infliction for us. One or the other. Remember this. Your sin, let's not generalize, but personalize. Your sin will damn you. There's nothing more certain. Your sin will damn you. Only Christ can save you. Call upon Him while He is near. Pass from death unto life. God's wrath to God's salvation. May God grant, as we have thought on the goodness and the severity of God, that there will not be one foolish like Sihon and Og, or the kings on the other side Jordan, flex the muscles of their rebellion in the face of the Almighty and reject the proffered grace. Come, call, and Christ will save.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.